Hey, are you going to follow Christ? Better get ready. The reality of suffering, the reality of glory. Jesus Christ is returning. Hey, you're going to be a leader in God's church? Hey, you're going to be an elder, a shepherd in God's church? You better get ready, man. The reality of cost, the reality of suffering, but man, hang on. The reality of glory and the crown that awaits in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Good day to you all, and welcome to Live in the Light. My name is Craig, and I'm your host of this program, and our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons, is here with me also today, and we continue to be in the midst of a series that we believe is a very helpful, equipping series for all of us. In the shifting times that we live in, we're seeing the nature of the church and the understanding of what a church is come under fire more than ever. But as we've seen so far, even though it's under fire, the church is absolutely 100% unstoppable because Jesus is unstoppable. It's an important and encouraging series for us. And today we turn to the topic of leadership within the local church, right, Robbie?
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Again, this series is a fundamental series. It's a series that is dealing with the foundation of such an important topic in our day, being the church. At a time where so many are coming up with their own definitions of the church, we are trying to say, wait, time out. How does God define his church? So we've looked at so far, what is the church as a whole? What does the Bible say about that? We've examined, just love so much, the topic of who is the head of the church. Of course, there's only one. His name is Jesus Christ. And today we are looking at leadership then. What does the Bible say about leadership in the church? So this is such an important topic. Craig, you appreciate that, being one of our pastor, shepherd, elders in our church, and just value again what God's word does say about this and how this needs to be held up again to define and to let the Lord say, this is how I've designed. Craig, what I love about, again, how we're approaching this, and as we should, is that we're not trying to say, here's what we think. We're trying to say, again, here's what God has said, or we are saying that. Here's what God says about leadership. Man, again, Craig, another challenging time, because in our day, authority is being questioned on every level. It's just like, I've never lived through a time where there's been such an attack on authority and even a diminishing. And yet God said, hey, I've designed my church to function in a certain way. And so we want to hold that up to celebrate and definitely not apologize for it. And so may the Lord use us at a time again for clarity and for encouragement for his people. Now, specifically this week, as we start to tackle leadership in the church.
Good morning, church. Wonderful to see you, to be together. For those who are maybe outside, for those in overflow as well, welcome, welcome, welcome. Week number one in our series here has been, what is the church? Week number two was, who is the head of the church? Of course, there's only one answer to that question. It's Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the King of kings, the great I am, the one who is awesome. There's no one like him. He's just the best. It's his church. He's the one in charge. Again, he is the Lord of glory. This week, we ask and answer the question biblically, who are the leaders of the church? Who are the leaders of the church? So we're laying a foundation as we go here. I hope you can pick that up, and I hope that's been very helpful to you. And as we go along, it's so great to be renewed right now in our ecclesiology. Ecclesiology, of course, being the study of the church. It's such a good time for this, to remind ourselves with all the chaos and confusion, and let's be honest, the distance. It's good to be renewed in mind as to what the Bible teaches us, what Jesus teaches us about his church and the way it's designed and the purposes within. And on that note too, God's design and purpose of his church, you can imagine then how much God cares about the leadership of his church. Like, just think about, step back, just long enough, far enough to think about how much Jesus Christ cares about his clear design for his church and the clear leadership within his church. Because as has been often said, as the leaders go, so the church goes. Here's the reason you need to care about this message today, no matter where you find yourself as a believer in Jesus Christ. Not entirely, but very much appropriately, the health of the church is always in massive correlation with the strength of the leadership of the church. This is why God provides such details in both character and calling of leaders within his church as well. We have all felt, I pray, the blessing of strong leadership in the church. All of us, or almost all of us, have also, though, felt the pain of failed leadership in the church as well. See, this is why you and I should care, and this is why God cares about this message right now, of course, coming directly from his word. With that, let's get our Bibles open to 1 Peter chapter 5, near the end of your New Testament, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. Turn there with me, please. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll be looking primarily at the first five verses. 1 Peter 5. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. How awesome is that? When the chief shepherd appears. Verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Let's start here with our passage outlined today. Number one is this: the leaders of the church, elders. The leaders of the church, elders. Just before we go any further in our text, I want us to look at a slide here as we understand what the New Testament teaches us about spiritual leadership in the church. I want to make sure you know that I know where we're going, and we're going together. Jesus Christ, of course, is the head of the church. He is the one who reigns and rules. But he has given to his church two main offices of leadership. The first one is the office of elder, the elders of the church, which we will go through primarily today. The second is the office of deacons. This isn't a perfect description. This is really taken from our website, by the way, too. But we can describe what elders do, again, succinctly, not perfectly, but they serve by leading. The primary, most important spiritual leadership over the church is given to the office of elders, where you can say in comparison, the deacons in a more practical leadership, they would lead by serving. That's not a perfect description, but it's helpful. It helps summarize again, the gist again of what's happening biblically. So the elders, the spiritual leadership, again, we've said this for so many years, the doctrine of the church, the direction of the church, and the discipline within the church. These are what the elders are primarily. We're going to see this today from our text. Whereas the deacons, more practical as they serve. Things like administration and all that that encompasses within the church. The care of the finances or benevolence as seen again, examples in Acts chapter 6 and the different scripture references we have here. So again, not a perfect description, but a helpful description that Jesus Christ is the head and we have two offices that are given again for the New Testament church. Today, we primarily unpack what it means for the spiritual leadership for the elders again in the church, because this is by far the bulk of the instruction in the New Testament towards the office of elder, as we will see directly in our passage today. Again, verse 1, notice, I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder, as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. So notice right away, church, the exhortation is to the elders, not to the deacons here. It's to the elders, the primary spiritual leaders of the local church. The very mention of the word elders here says so much about God's design for leadership in God's church. This is important, a bit of a side note, but important as well. Notice Peter says, I exhort the elders as a fellow elder among you. Notice that, a fellow elder. That's a far cry from Peter thinking he's the Pope. Fair? As a fellow elder. Now we understand a fellow elder. Peter, Paul, remember this. I'll always remember this when it comes to leadership in the church. Ready? The best of men are men at best. The best of men are men at best. We don't worship some celebrity pastor. We don't worship some man. We worship Jesus Christ. We only follow our leaders in church as long as they are leading us to Jesus Christ. The best of men are men at best. You put your hopes in a man, you put your hopes in a person, it's only a matter of time before they let you down because they're not Jesus. There's only one perfect head of the church and his name is Jesus Christ. Again, let me just say over and over again, if you put too much of your hope in me, it's just a matter of time before I let you down. I'm following, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow spiritual leaders as they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word elders here is frequently used in the New Testament to refer to those who had leadership positions in the church. The church in Jerusalem had elders. 7 references to this fact in the book of Acts. In Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas are appointed elders. They appointed elders in all the churches in their first missionary journey. When leaders visited Paul from Ephesus in Acts 20, they were called elders. In James 5, the person who is sick and needs prayer is asked to summon the elders to pray over them. The pastoral epistles, Timothy and Titus, demonstrate that elders functioned in both Ephesus and they were appointed in Crete. Tom Schreiner says, every piece of evidence we have shows that elders were widespread in the early church. Elders are mentioned by Luke, Peter, Paul, and James. Elders were found in a wide region of the Greco-Roman world, including Jerusalem, Palestine, Asia Minor, and also Crete. It's also very important to know this. All indications of elders in the New Testament point to a plurality of elders, not a single individual, a plurality of elders that carried a tremendous importance within the leadership of God's church. The plurality of elders is a gift to the church that must be received by the church. Dave Harvey says that, who's the president of the GCC, the Association of Churches we belong to, the Great Commission Collective. Plurality of eldership in the church is a gift to the church that the church must receive as that from Christ, the gift that he gives in leadership in the church. So all that to say this on the screen for you, a church without biblically functioning elders is a church that is not functioning biblically. Look again at verse 1, our context. I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder, as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Now, that's such sweet context. Peter is all about this all over his letters, particularly in the epistle of 1 Peter. Notice what he's saying here. The reality of suffering, the reality of glory. Hey, are you going to follow Christ? Better get ready. The reality of suffering, the reality of glory. Jesus Christ is returning. Hey, you're going to be a leader in God's church? Hey, you're going to be an elder, a shepherd in God's church? You better get ready, man. The reality of cost, the reality of suffering. But man, hang on. The reality of glory and the crown that awaits in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, this is why eldering cannot be a popularity contest. This isn't sitting down and deciding to vote on who we like most. Who's the nicest guy in the church? He won't last. Eldering is not a popularity. It's not some fluffy committee where you sit around and discuss the weather. To truly be an elder called by God in the church for a particular season, again, you must know God's calling to do it or you won't make it. It is not some popularity contest. It is not a fluffy committee. It is an understanding the reality of suffering and the cost of leadership as an elder or pastor within the church, but also the expectation, the reality of the glory of Jesus Christ, who one day will return so soon. The call of elder is not for the faint of heart. And that's why there's such emphasis on character and calling of such leaders throughout the New Testament. Point number two. The calling of elders to shepherd. To shepherd. Look at verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you. This right here is the calling of elders within the church of God. Notice in verse 1, Peter says, I exhort the elders among you. Exhort means to strongly encourage in a certain direction. The exhortation now is unpacked here in verse 2. It begins with, shepherd the flock of God. So the primary function of the elders within the church is to shepherd the flock of God. Now, it's no accident that the verb for shepherd here in verse 2 is the same verb that Jesus used with Peter in John chapter 21. You might recall in John chapter 21, again, after Peter's denial of Christ and he meets Christ on the beach and Jesus comes up again to Peter and he asks Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? It broke Peter's heart, the anguish of that moment. He denied him 3 times. Jesus asked him 3 times, do you love me? And the response to each time, Jesus said, tend my sheep or feed my sheep. When Jesus says to Peter, tend my sheep, literally that is shepherd my sheep. Same verb used in verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 5. What we learn from this is the spiritual shepherd will do his job in 2 main ways. Number one, and is the most important at the start, the shepherd is to feed the sheep. The single greatest role of a shepherd is to feed the sheep. Think about it. If the sheep are not fed, then the sheep will die. Interesting, in John chapter 21, Jesus says to Peter twice, feed my sheep. Isn't that so? Peter would become the leader of the early church. Again, the spokesperson in the earliest of days. And Jesus says to him twice in this way, before he ascends to heaven, Peter, whatever you do, feed my sheep. It's hard to overstate the importance of the word of God within the sheep of God. To the point, right? You can groom and console and care for a sheep. You can do that for days on end, but unless you feed the sheep, that sheep might be tremendously cared for. If they're not fed, they will die. Grooming, consoling, caring is very important, but it doesn't come before the reality and the necessity that every single sheep must be fed again by the truth and the nourishment of the word of God. Man is not lived by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The shepherd must feed the sheep. I am so encouraged and so delighted that for all these years, again, 18 years being within this church, that the elders surrounding me have always said the highest priority, Robbie, for what you do is to study and prepare to feed the people the word of God. That's why, again, our first pillar is proclaiming the authority of God's word without apology. If there's no word, there's no life, there's no nourishment, again, there's no point. So blessed by that. Continues to this day. But the second main thing a shepherd is to do is to care for, protect, and nurture the sheep. I want you to see how the heart of Jesus is all through our passage here. Why? Because the most effective elder will desire the heart and follow the example of Christ, the head of the church. Again, imitate me, imitate the shepherd who imitates Christ. Please notice too, Peter here, he says, shepherd the flock. What does it say next? Shepherd the flock. Anyone? Of God. Thank you. Thank you for that one person to my left. Yes. Shepherd the flock of God. Jesus says to Peter, feed my sheep. Do you notice that? Feed my sheep. Whose flock? God's flock. Whose sheep? Jesus' sheep. How beautiful to think that we are all God's sheep. And the biblical elder will treat it as such. So when you understand it's God's flock and you understand it's the sheep that belong to Jesus, the elders don't become arrogant or over-controlling. They own nothing. They own nothing. They are shepherding God's flock. They are caring again for God's sheep, God's children. Next, Peter says in verse 2, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you. Why is that there, do you think? Like, why is that statement? I mean, it should be understood. Or in some ways you think, well, that makes total sense, but yet it's there. Exercising over, not under compulsion, but willingly. Peter introduces the word now oversight, which comes from the Greek word episkopos, where we get the English word again, episcopal, Episcopalian church. It literally means overseer. So Peter here is already, I wonder if you've noticed this so far, you'd have to be pretty in tune to see this. Peter has already used three different words to describe the office of elder in two verses. Can you see them there? Can you see them there? I encourage to see them, not to look at me, but to look at the Bible. That's what I encourage. Can you see the three words that are used there to describe the office of elder? They are this: elder, shepherd, and now oversight or overseer. And by the way, the Greek word episkopos in Latin is supervisus, which we get our word, of course, for supervisor. Let's just break down these three words right now, though, because I want you to see this. This is very, very important. Three words to describe one office, not three words describing three different offices. We see here the word elder used throughout the New Testament, the word Presbyterian. This is emphasizing the man's spiritual maturity that is necessary, again, to be an elder in the church. We have another word right in our text, such a great passage for this, overseer. This can also be translated as bishop at different times, episkopos. This refers to the general responsibility of guardianship, of oversight, of supervision over the local church. Then you have this final word, shepherd, or it's interesting, the word pastor only shows up once in the New Testament, Ephesians 4, verse 11, and these, again, express the priority or duty of feeding or teaching the truth of God's word to the flock of God. So what's so important is these three words are used interchangeably all throughout the New Testament. Not three words describing three offices, but they're three words that help unpack and explain one office. Back to our text here. Notice these two things in the same verse, verse 2. Notice the biblical elder is to be among the sheep and over the sheep. Look at that. Verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. And the very next exhortation is, but exercising oversight. So the biblical elder will be with the sheep, but he will also lead the sheep. You can say it this way. The biblical elder will love both teaching and pastoring, or pastoring and preaching, not one or the other, but both in some form, in some way. So personally, for me, right here, as my roles, pastor, elder, shepherd within this church, my single greatest priority is to feed the sheep with the word of God. That is the greatest way that I love you right now. If this ceases to happen, people cease to be fed and people begin to die. Here's what I also know. One of the greatest encouragements and way to love and the pastoring and shepherding that occurs is right now in this moment. I get to love and care for and disciple and shepherd hundreds at a time. Last service, same thing. Next service, same thing. Online, whatever it might be. There's shepherding and pastoring and loving and feeding that occurs right now here, overflow and outside, as the word of God is properly given and taught and applied to our lives. There's no more important aspect of my calling at this point than doing this right now. Without it, again, the church cannot survive. However, again, the elder is to love to preach and teach, but also to be among the sheep. I just look at the last, let's say, 7-8 days of my walk here at this church. involved in a backyard blessing with multiple young families in our church and blessing of their children. Involved with anointing the sick with oil and a couple of people in our church this past week. Involved in a leadership group of some of the top leaders in our church on Monday evenings. Engaged in marriage counseling in different aspects and conversation with friends and trying to help them. Setting up one-on-one discipleship with men in our church. Involved in a GCC pastors retreat just the past few days. 23 pastors across Canada gathering to encourage one another to be a part of that and to love them. Elders meeting on Wednesday night and part of the governance and the oversight and the caring for the church. Involved with so many other conversations and text messages and phone calls of people within our church. And all of this to understand the last 7-8 days, there's such a sense of the priority of the preaching and coming here ready to deliver this message, but also among the sheep and caring for all these people in all these different situations. That's how it's supposed to go. But then Peter says this, he says, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, but willingly as God would have you. Again, the reason he says that, because apparently the temptation for elders will be for it not to be willingly, but they would feel under compulsion to do so. Why is that said here? Here's why, ready? Because eldering is hard. If you're gonna do it right, it's gonna be really hard. I remember talking to an elder friend, this is several years ago, in another church, and he said, jokingly, but he said, I just finished my term, I'm free. Right? He's a great man, a great elder, right? He was joking, but I get it. The sacrifice, the burden, the weight, the responsibility. There's a story of a boy, he kept watching his dad, who was an elder, leave for elder meetings. And the boy looked at his mom and asked, Mom, why does dad keep doing something he hates so much? See, that's the sad side of what can happen when it comes to under compulsion, not willingly as God would have you. What are we learning? God's word's so helpful right here, right? We're learning this. If you can't find joy within being an elder, ultimately you shouldn't be an elder. Now, let me say this. There's gonna be some tough days. I mean, trust me. There's gonna be some really, really dark and hard days. But if the overarching theme, again, of a man aspiring to be an elder or one who is that isn't, again, finding joy within it, they should not be an elder. The cost of being elder is going, if it's going to make it a job and make that person grumpy, it shouldn't be an elder. And love, let me just share this with you too. The weight of being a true elder is significant. Like I'm talking, if you're really gonna go after Christ, then listen, Satan's really gonna go after you. Is it any surprise in verse 8 of our text? Look at verse 8, look what it says. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Not lost on me that that's within the context of what we're going through right now. And whenever there's a new elder about to join our team over the years, I try to say to them, I said, listen, don't be afraid, but listen, you better get ready. Like you better get ready. The level of spiritual intensity and a spiritual attack coming upon you, your marriage and your family, like it's just a whole new level because Satan knows he gets to the leaders, he gets to the church. So just get ready, man. And you better be prayed up and we're praying for one another. It's gonna be intense and it is. But at the end of the day, the biblical elder will say, I'm doing this because I want to, I am called to, not because I have to. Again, Tom Schreiner says this. He says, those who serve only because they feel they must will lose their joy and the church will suffer as a consequence. Not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you. To the point, over the years too, there's been some men in our church who have been approached to consider the path towards eldership and they have actually passed. They have said no. They have declined.
Need some extra encouragement? Well, we have our previous messages and series available for you to listen online at liveinthelight.ca. Thanks for joining us today, listeners. We hope you join us again next time here on Live in the Light.